You're listening to Sphera Now, a podcast for environmental health, safety, and quality professionals around the globe. This is brought to you by Sphera, the largest global provider of integrated risk management software and information services with a focus on environmental health and safety, operational risk, and product stewardship. Now, let's get started.
Welcome to Sphera Now. This is your host, Ellen Bremseth, and I'm joined today by Sphera's own John Crossman. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Ellen.
So for our listeners, John is a lead process safety consultant here at Sphera, and John's led a team of process safety consultants for close to a decade. As an accomplished facilitator, John has led teams to complete many large-scale risk assessments across many key industries. He's helped build templates for diverse process safety management assessments, such as HAZOPS, what-ifs, LOPA, alarm rationalization, hierarchy of controls analysis, and many more. His experience also covers the broader risk management framework with understanding of incident management, management of change, and tracking of risk assessment actions. Speaking of risk assessment actions, John recently led a Sphera webinar titled Effective Actions, EHS Action Management Best Practices, and he's going to speak more on that subject today. Are you ready to get started, John?
I'm very ready to go.
Fantastic. So what was the main reason that led you to choosing this particular topic to discuss with our audience? Was it that you were worried people are not tracking the actions that come from their risk assessments, like, at all? Or maybe they're just not doing it the right way?
Well, I wouldn't say that we're worried about what people are doing. I think our concern is a little bit more about the overall process they're following to do it, and that, you know, to use a cliche, people aren't seeing the forest through the trees. A lot of people are under a lot of pressure today more than ever to show that once an action has been made, that it's been properly evaluated and that it's been put into effect in, you know, a very reasonable amount of time so that it helps protect them against whatever risks they've identified. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is that sometimes with all of the pressure that people get to close these actions out and get moving forward, sometimes that whole process means you forget where the action came from and you lose sight of the problem that you're trying to fix. So we really just wanted to remind people that, you know, in their efforts to close these actions out in an effective manner, that they take time to just step back and make sure that what they're doing really does solve the problem they're trying to fix and that it doesn't create other ones in the process.
And why do you think tracking of actions can become so disjointed from the assessments that generate them?
Well, actions come from a lot of different places, and I think a lot of us work in our own little bubbles or our own little worlds, and we forget that there is a bigger system or a bigger picture at play. You know, in my life, I do a lot of PHA studies, and we generate a lot of actions from that. So, you know, the customers that I'm dealing with are looking at actions from a PHA point of view. They're taking those actions, they're putting them into a tracking system and moving forward with it. But in a lot of places, the system that you're using to track these actions, whether, you know, it's a big expensive software package or a manual process or whatever, those systems don't just take PHA actions. They take actions from all kinds of places, from job safety assessments, from incident reviews, from audits that you do on various processes. And, you know, they may take business actions from completely different areas or aspects of the business as well. And so once an action moves from the spot or the bubble or the world where it was generated into that bigger, broader system, those two things don't always necessarily speak together as effectively as they need to, and that's where, you know, we get worried sometimes that maybe essential information is getting lost in that whole action resolution process.
So you spoke about a process on the webinar. Could you discuss that or remind our podcast listeners of that? And does some form of this process already exist?
Yeah, so the process we talked about basically followed a few key steps. You know, we had told our listeners that, you know, before you just run and put an action into place, first thing that's very important to do is to just verify that the discussion or the scenario that generated the action in the first place was in fact valid and reasonable. Because in a lot of situations, if the information is not the best, you can lead yourself to the wrong conclusion. Once you verify that, then you need to go and look at the action and make sure that what was proposed was really the best way to solve the problem. And in that process, you know, look at other alternatives that could be better, faster, more effective, or that could solve more problems than just the one you originally had to identify it. You know, then we talked about making sure the action gets followed through in a timely manner, putting the plan in place to get it done, and to make sure you're including any interim actions or temporary risk management steps that you may need to put in place as the action gets followed up on. And then the last step was, of course, just to validate that the final implementation, whatever form that took, really was what you originally asked for, and that it really does provide, you know, the amount of risk reduction that you require. And, you know, the process in and of itself is not really new. It's not that it doesn't exist, but a lot of people are doing these in various different ways and formats, and it may not always be as formal as maybe some people would like. You know, a lot of our customers do management reviews or similar type of activities after a risk assessment is completed, and in those meetings, they will go through and talk about a lot of the key points that we had mentioned on the webinar. Whether that's part of a formal process, whether it's fully documented, and whether it's fully being captured in the way that it needs to be, that varies, I think, from one place to another, and I think that's the thing that we really have to work on doing better, just, you know, capturing what we talk about, capturing what we do, and making sure that everybody has access to that information throughout the whole process.
So these various processes, is there like a variation in quality of these processes? Is one significantly, you know, better than the other?
No, it really is all about making sure that you have a process that works for your organization. And, you know, having one rigid process as a standard and requiring everybody to follow it may sound like a good idea in theory, but for a lot of different reasons, people may just not be able to follow it the way that it was intended. And that can be due to a lot of factors. It could be due to, you know, the size of the team available to follow it, the tools at your disposal, the number of other activities that they need to do. You know, geography and industry can play a part in that. So there's a lot of different factors that influence exactly how you go through that. As long as you're keeping to the spirit of it, there's a thousand ways that you can do it, and you just have to find the one that gets you the best results.
So it's less about the journey, more about the end result in this case, or is it really just kind of trying to figure out what works best for your organization and your goals?
Well, it's about both the journey and the end result. You know, I would kind of liken it to reading a roadmap. You know where you're at, you know where you want to be, and you probably have five or six paths that you can choose to get there. You just want to make sure that you're strategically picking the right road to go down and not really just kind of winging it and having to make a bunch of U-turns on your way, because it ultimately just delays you and frustrates you and, you know, doesn't have quite the impact or the end result that you're dreaming of.
Yeah, no one likes a road trip with a lot of U-turns, let alone a project journey with one.
Exactly.
Well, that is all the time we have for this episode of Sphera Now. For more information and insights on EHS action management, you can watch John's webinar on demand at sphera.com. So just go to sphera.com, then you're going to select our resources tab, then select webinars, then search for EHS action management, and it should be right there for you to see. Well, thank you again for being a part of the podcast today, John.
Always a pleasure.
And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in to Sphera Now. I'm your host, Ellen Bremseth, signing off.
This concludes the episode of Sphera Now. For more content on topics such as these, we encourage you to visit sphera.com, sphera.com. While there, feel free to click contact and submit any feedback on this podcast or any topics you'd like to see us cover. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.